Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the morning shift on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game at 8:24. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan. Dylan is hanging out behind the glass. And it is a short week for the Falcons to turn things around. I know we're still basking in the win from Monday night. But what is the schedule looking like for the guys up at Flowery Branch this week? Mike, what were your dates like?
Well, I think that, first of all, the day of the game, you do active recovery, and we heard from multiple guys when we were doing the postgame show. We played some of the cuts yesterday from guys like D. Alford, where it's like, hey, got in, you got to get in, you got to take care of your body, you got to be active. The whole thing where it's hot tub, cold tub, foam roller, maybe, deep tissue, whatever else you kind of do on those days. But you had to go out and run around. I know people think that's crazy, but the day after the game, you have to go run around. We used to, when I was at Alabama, we did 10-40s. It wasn't timed. You're not sprinting for, trying to run a 4:6:40, but you would go out and run 10-40s, and you would kind of get your body moving around and make sure that you're, kind of flushing everything out. So I'm sure that yesterday, what they were able to do was at least get in, do some of that, and start the mental preparation. Unfortunately for them, they're probably going to be on the field today. They kind of have to be when you talk about the shortened week. And hopefully they can get their bodies back right. But I don't think they're going to do too much. I would assume a walkthrough maybe today. Mm-hmm. Nothing crazy. But the shortened week, that's what you deal with. And I'm sure they're going to feel it when they get out there.
I mean, do a walkthrough today and then do, Thursday, Friday practice, and then do a walkthrough Saturday before we take off.
Yeah, I think the biggest question for me will be what they're doing tomorrow in terms of the intensity of practice. But I doubt they'll be in full pads at all this week.
Yeah, well, they only have so many they can do anyways.
Yeah, when I was playing, it was 13 per year.
Yeah, I think it...
Which is nuts.
It might be 10 now. Maybe it's still 13. Look. The days of, two-a-days during training camp, full pads, tackle to the ground, and then practicing with pads on every day during the season, those are long gone. And that's what this is. It's not like other teams aren't doing it very similar. I think everybody has their own way, but, I always wondered about Victory Monday because we always would hear Victory Monday and everybody would get excited. And Coach Smith did a lot of that. But it's not – you think that and you're like, oh, the players are all off. No, they're all there Monday morning.
Yeah, I was going to say.
They just don't have to do like – Mike, correct me where you think I'm wrong, but my understanding of Victory Monday was you come in, you get treatment, probably watch some film and everything, and then you're out of there by like noon. And then – but a losing Monday was you come in, you get treatment, you watch film, you do a walkthrough, and then you have open locker room with the media, and then you go home. So it's like a half day between a full day.
Honestly, what you would usually do on a losing Monday, you'd have to watch the film with your coaches. Mm. And if you won, you would probably still watch film with your coaches at some point, but you'd come in on a, if he said, hey, see you Wednesday, you come in on a Monday, you'd probably watch it with just your peers, on a Monday. And that was the biggest difference for us. And Tuesday, a lot of people don't realize Tuesday is like your off day. Almost, I would say 90% of the time, these guys are out in the community doing something community related.
Especially the young players.
Especially the young players that basically can't say no. But almost always, you're out somewhere on a Tuesday doing an appearance or doing something to help out the community.
That year, we went from L.A. to Seattle. Right after the game, we played the Rams. Yep. I think it was 22. And play the Rams on a Sunday in L.A. We fly up to Seattle that night, get in. We were actually in that little suburb that I always talk about that we go up there. I can never remember the name of Bellevue. And that Tuesday, they were like, hey, we're going to do out to this military base. And there's a joint military base out there that's a Air Force and an Army base. And it's such a large base that you drive all the way across the base for the Army side. And we were there all day. And it was like, wasn't the entire team, but it was a huge chunk of the team.
Yeah.
And you're there all day with community service stuff. Yeah, it was a really cool event.
Not to jump ahead, but I do have a question. Have you guys started getting your plans prepared for the Germany trip? Like, you got a departure date and everything like that?
No.
I was so curious if you guys would go straight from New England. yeah, over to Germany for last time. Okay. I mean, yeah, I knew it was kind of a
not that I know
a far-fetched idea, but I just wondered if they gave you like a secure, like, we need your, you know, we need everything
what
for
they,
you.
What they do, is, what they have done is they took my passport.
Okay.
I do not have, I'm not in, the team has my passport.
Yeah.
So if you want to steal my identity, I guess break into Flyer Branch.
Just remember to take your wallet.
Yeah, please don't. Yeah, you're right. I don't know if Germany does Apple Pay. I know England does.
Well, while we've been celebrating Victory Tuesday and still talking about the game today, Raheem Morris, rightfully so, has his eyes looking ahead towards Sunday's game and talked about it with the media yesterday.
Genuine history of Kyle. You know, he got ready for a tough downhill run game, and I know it hadn't been going up until this point for those guys throughout the season, but we know how quickly that can change. They've been doing a great job of going out there being efficient in their pass game. They play two quarterbacks that play well this year. They play receivers that's played well this year. Guys that have been with them, guys that have moved on with somewhere else and came back. With Kendrick Bourne being able to do stuff that he's doing out there this year, he's had two phenomenal games back-to-back. You know, they got the tough Jennings out there who's able to do a bunch of different things when he's healthy. I know he's been dealing with some things and fighting through all those different things, but they got a lot of really good football players on this football team, starting with Christian McCaffrey, obviously the most used player in football. And then you just got to talk about everybody on their offense, right? They get Kittle back. That presents another significant problem for them. And then on defense, they play fast. They play physical. They do a lot of similar things that we're going to do. So we want to get out there and get a great game versus these guys.
This is like a family affair. It's like a family feud right here because Salah was out there, well, with Ulbrich in New York, and he was a DC for Salah.
Yeah, good point, yeah.
And then Raheem was the wide receivers coach for Kyle Shanahan during the Super Bowl year. And there's a bunch of coaches that's been on both sides. Like, this is a family affair right here. As much as, you know, Kyle and Rod know each other well, Ulbrich was the linebackers coach with Shanahan here. So they're all running a version. You know, when people say that the only offense we had to when we look at Zach Robinson and what he does, the only offense we have to go by is what he did with McVay. It's not true. Because Minnesota runs the same offense. You know, they're running the same offense down in Houston to an extent. Everywhere in this league is just littered with Mike Shanahan disciples and his offense being taken and used in a different way.
Is Bobby Slowick in New Orleans now? Where is he at? I think he's in.
I thought he went to Seattle.
You might be right.
I'll look it up. I'll find it by the end of the segment.
Sorry. All right. There you go.
No, we got to figure out what Bo watched on Netflix because I already know that Mike and I are disappointed that it was not a known number.
Yes. So good.
I would tell you to go to Publix and get Baron Burton's W sauce, but Anthony already told us that. But go to Publix and get Baron Burton's W sauce, breakfast sauce too, and the Fire Shower. Bobby Slowick is the senior passing game coordinator for the Miami Dolphins. How's that working out? You know what?
I don't think you can put that all on him.
I was going to say, we
talked about when we talked about the Oklahoma State jobs. Like, if Zach Robinson leaves, would you have Mike McDaniel? I would.
Well, maybe.
I'd bring
Bobby Slowick might be
exactly.
Available.
That's exactly why I asked where he was, because I'm just keeping my eyes on all these guys around there floating around.
And let Dwayne still handle the offensive line. Slowick don't need to touch
exactly
that.
Exactly what it would be.
I watched Monster, the Ed Gein story. And I don't know if you guys are familiar with Ed Gein. But Ed Gein is essentially – he is the real person that basically most horror movies were based off of. Psycho, which changed the – you know, Alfred Hitchcock's Psycho, which changed the horror movie
– the genre.
Genre.
Yeah.
And really how we view movies today by going in theaters and buying a ticket time. And that it used to be then it was just you going in anytime you wanted was based on him. Chainsaw Massacre was based off of him. Silence of the Lambs, the Buffalo Bill character, was based on him. Serial killers based what they, like, some of their things off of what Ed Gein did.
He's a sick man.
Very sick man. It's also a sick TV show. I am sitting there watching it, and I'm like, it's just uncomfortable.
What's the category? Is it docudrama?
It's, yeah, I think so. It's basically the exact same. It's the same series that did Dahmer and the Menendez, the Monster. They're going to do the Lizzie Borden story next. I actually want to watch that.
Jesus.
You know Lizzie Borden, right? Yeah, yeah, I think everybody knows her. But it's just weird. It's got the guy from Sons of Anarchy, that Charlie Hunman, I think is his name is. And his voice is just his voice in it is the creepiest thing ever. And at the end of it, they do it the way they they take a lot of liberties, I think, with characters, the real characters, and probably what happened with them as far as the interaction with Ed Gein. But I think that gets me, I think, the most is they make him a sympathetic character because he's bat blank crazy. He ends up being diagnosed at the end of his day with schizophrenia, and they kind of level him. They talk about how they kind of, you know, get him a little bit normal with drugs. And it's just.
So should we watch it?
Yeah, I think you can watch it. I just did. The last episode was out there, man. I mean, it felt like somebody had taken.
I saw the trailer where he's like sweeping, wearing the maid's dress.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah, that was weird.
But
saw the trailer.
The last episode is the weirdest thing ever. The last episode felt like someone who had taken LSD for 50 years wrote it after doing LSD for 50 years.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Rather watch it again or For Love of the Game?
Hell, I'd rather watch For Love of the Game. I mean, and it's not because I like that movie. It's because it puts me in a better mind space than what Ed Gein did.
I'll watch Top Gun if you'll watch Unknown Number. How about that?
Shake on it.
Okay.
But you got to watch both of them. Top Gun
well,
and Top
we'll
Gun
get
Maverick.
There, but okay.
But the OG, the star.
We'll get there.
All right, coming up, we're going to shake off the heebie-jeebies. We've got NFL writer for NFL Media and NFL.com, Eric Edholm, will be joining us next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.